Hi, this is Paul Chappell here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I want to thank you again for tuning in to this podcast. I am very excited about this series, Power for Life. The series begins with the resurrection, but then the Lord Jesus promised after he ascended into heaven that the Spirit of God would descend and that we would be born again by the Spirit. And so throughout this study, we're learning about the power of God and the power of God's Holy Spirit working in and through our lives. I trust that this series will encourage you, will help you to have a greater desire to walk not in your strength or in mine, but in the power of God through His Spirit. So let's open our Bibles and get into today's message. May God richly bless you. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John as we continue our series entitled Power for Life. And we're going to, on this Father's Day, continue along learning about the power of God for everyday life. And fathers, I believe you'll be challenged, as I have been. And we believe that this truth we're going to learn this morning really affects every one of us in our daily Christian life. I remember a few years ago talking with my wife about some Christians that weren't getting along and they weren't being kind. My wife doesn't often comment about things. She doesn't speak a lot about subjects of that nature. But she said something that day I'll never forget. She said, "Honey, why can't Christians just be spiritual? Aren't there any spiritual Christians?" You know, if we would learn to walk in the Spirit, a lot of the other things come into place. And today we're going to learn how to be spiritual. How many of you would like to not only be saved, but to be a spiritual man or woman? We're going to learn about that today. And so let's stand together and turn to John chapter 16, and we're going to read verses 13 through 15. Our title this morning, The Power of God to Guide Our Lives. And we're going to read John 16, beginning in verse 13, down through verse 16 for our text. If you're a guest, you'll find the outline for today's message inside your bulletin. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see Me, and again a little while, and ye shall see Me, because I go to the Father." Shall we pray? Lord, we thank You for the infallible Word of God, and we ask this morning that You would guide and direct us. For those who do not know Christ, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. For those who have been saved, Lord, help us to be spiritually growing and to be guided by Your Holy Spirit. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we see in the Word of God how the Holy Spirit is promised and how Jesus said He wants to be our guide and that He will guide us into the truth. As fathers this morning, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We must be good followers of God if we will be good leaders in our home. We must learn how to be guided and directed by God's Spirit. And one of the things that always convicts me about my need to be a spiritual man, to be a man led of the Spirit, is the simple fact that Jesus Christ Himself was always led of the Spirit. Jesus, who is God in the flesh, Jesus, who is perfect in all of His personality and attributes. Yet the Bible says of Him in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jerusalem and was led of," returned from Jordan, "and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness." Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit. Now, if Jesus was led of the Spirit, if Jesus was guided by the Spirit, how much more do I need to be guided by the Holy Spirit of God? A recent issue of Family Circle magazine posted the results of a survey done with fathers and with questions that they answered. 71% of the fathers said that fatherhood was more demanding than they ever expected. Now, if there's a young dad thinking to themselves, well, you know, I've got it handled, it's not that tough, just wait till your kids become teenagers, amen? There are always seasons in fatherhood that are tougher than we perhaps expected in the first place. 88%, though, said that being a father was more rewarding than they thought it would be. And I think of our four children today, and it's a rewarding experience to see them applying the truth of God's Word and growing in their service for the Lord. 87% said that the rewards of fatherhood meant more to them than their career. They had come to the place in their life where they said, you know, seeing the next generation serve the Lord and do right is more important to me than my career field. By the way, you'll never meet a retired man who wishes he had spent more time with his company. Most of those men would say they wish they would have given a little more time with their children. Then there were 89% of those surveyed approved of men taking some time off from their career or some vacation time or whatever the case to spend more time with their children. 90% of the men surveyed said that becoming a father had made them want to be a better man themselves. Being a father challenged them and reminded them that they had a great responsibility in setting the example for those coming behind them. I had a friend years ago who worked in construction. He was a lot of times outside working around landscaping and so forth. And one day he came home and he had gravel and dirt all over himself and he was washing his car. And as he washed his car, he looked over and he saw his four-year-old son standing by the side of the driveway and he was reaching down in the garden. He got two fists full of dirt and he was rubbing that dirt all over himself. And his dad said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "I want to be like you, Dad. I'll be dirty like you." Sometimes it's scary how our children copy the smallest little things from our lives. And dads who were surveyed said, 90% of them said, being a dad made them want to be the best example they possibly could be for their children. A few years ago, James Dobson's ministry, Focus on the Family, decided to do something a little bit novel. They had an idea that they would go into the prisons in their area, and around Mother's Day, they would bring Mother's Day cards, and they would place these cards out on the tables in the prisons, and they would invite the prisoners to come and just write their mom a Mother's Day card. Free card. They had an opportunity to witness to the inmates and so forth, and it was an amazing response. In fact, they said thousands and thousands of inmates came to this invitation. They happily filled out the Mother's Day cards and sent the Mother's Day cards on. It was such a success that they said, you know what, let's do this again at Father's Day. And so Father's Day came. They got all kinds of tables. Thousands of cards were prepared. And amazingly, in two of the prisons, not one man came to fill out a Father's Day card. They said, you know, that's strange. They began to ask, what was the problem? Many hundreds of the inmates said they, in fact, did not even know who their father was. And the rest of them said they didn't really have a relationship with a father to the extent that they would feel led to even know what to write on a Father's Day card. And I say to you that that is a sobering illustration of the importance of a father in the life of his children. And that when that part of a child's life is neglected, the relationship with his father, many times many other aspects of the life are lacking. What a great priority every father should make in leading his home in the ways of the Lord. And yet I say this morning, we cannot lead if we are not willing to follow. You will not be good in your area of authority until you understand that you are under the authority of the leadership of the Spirit of God. And so this morning, God has power to guide, but we must be leadable. We must let Him guide in our lives. Let's learn this morning how to follow the guiding leadership of the Holy Spirit. First of all, notice if you would, the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. By way of review, let's remember this morning that every Christian is the recipient of a divine occupant, whose name is the Holy Spirit of God. Notice in verse 13 it says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." Jesus is nearing the time of his crucifixion in John 13. And so he's reminding his disciples that even though he's going to be with the Father, the Spirit of truth is going to come. And he reminds them of the promise of the Holy Spirit. Notice, if you would, the Holy Spirit is promised to each believer. These disciples were being told the Holy Spirit will come. And he did come in Acts chapter 2. He came down on the day of Pentecost and he indwelt every follower of Jesus Christ. John 15 and verse 26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." In Romans chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Friend, everyone who believes on Jesus Christ is in the Spirit of Christ, has the Holy Spirit of God within them. The Bible says, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nearly 30 years ago, this coming December, 30 years will have passed since I stood at the wedding altar at the United Baptist Church in San Jose, California. There at that wedding altar, I made my vows before God and men concerning my commitment to my wife, Terry. And I remember being very nervous. I couldn't remember all the words the pastor was going to say. I just know that at a given moment, he was going to say, "I will," and I was going to say, "I will," and he's going to say, "I do," and "I do," and so I willed, and I did, and it was done, and everything took place, and I made my commitment there, and as soon as I made my vows, as soon as I said my statement, "I do, I will," at that moment, I received the gift of a beautiful wife, my life's companion, Terry. I thank the Lord for that. But do you know that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, just as soon as I made my prayer asking Jesus to be my Savior, that at that moment I received a gift, and the gift was the Holy Spirit of God coming into my life. God with me. My body, the Bible says, your body, if you're a Christian, is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells every single believer. And so, the gift of the Holy Spirit is promised by Jesus Christ. Secondly, the gift of the Holy Spirit is permanent in every believer. The Holy Spirit doesn't come in and then leave you and then spend time with you and then leave you. The Holy Spirit of God indwells you permanently. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God seals us and He is with us permanently. John 14 and verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever." Notice the phrase there. That He may abide with you for how long? Forever the Holy Spirit abides with you. Sometimes you'll meet a good person that talks of the Lord and professes faith in Jesus. And we cannot know their heart, only God knows their heart. But they will talk as if they have lost their salvation and then regained it back, or lost the Holy Spirit, and then He came back again. But when you truly understand the teaching of the Bible, my friend, you do not have to be born again and again and again and again. But you are born again one time, and the Holy Spirit of God never leaves you and never forsakes you. You are sealed until the day of your redemption. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye have been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." How many of you have been bought with a price? That's the blood of Jesus. That's the price that was paid. And when you were purchased by Jesus, when you accepted Christ, then the Spirit of God dwelt in your life permanently. Thank the Lord for that. The gift of the Holy Spirit. If you are saved this morning, then the Spirit of God has come into your life permanently. But notice secondly now, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Someone says, "All right, Pastor Chapel, I've been born again by the Spirit. I believe the Spirit of God is in my life. But I want to be a guided Christian. I want to be a father guided by the Spirit." How does that happen? First of all, notice it, if you would, in the text once again, verse 13. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." Let's read that phrase together. Ready, begin. He will guide you into all truth. One more time. He will guide you. So the Holy Spirit is not some distant person of the Trinity that's out there, unattainable, unreachable, unknowable, but in fact, He wants to lead and guide you and me into truth. He wants to guide my life in a practical, everyday kind of a way. Now, that's an amazing fact, that God wants to lead my life in everyday situations. And this morning, I want to give every father and every Christian four practical ways that God wants to guide your life. Now, whether you're going to let Him guide your life is up to you. But I can tell you emphatically, He wants to guide your life. And I can tell you how He wants to do it. Notice, if you would, first of all, He wants to guide your life in accordance with the Scripture. In accordance with the Scripture. Notice what the Scripture says once again. He says, He will guide you into the truth. He is even referred to in verse 13 as the Spirit of Truth. And so the Holy Spirit will never guide us away from truth. He will always guide us into the truth. The Holy Spirit will always lead us consistently to live according to the Word of God. That's why if someone ever says to you, well, God wants me just to stop going to church, God did not tell them to stop going to church. The Bible says, forsake not the assembly. God's Holy Spirit will never tell you something opposite of what the Bible says. Are you with me this morning? Someone says, well, God told me to leave my wife. No, your friend at the bar may have told you to leave your wife, but God will never tell you to leave your wife, because the Bible says, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder, you see. The Holy Spirit will always lead you consistently with the teachings of the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will remind us of what the Bible says. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, as I have said unto you. You'll be out at work this week in a shop somewhere. You'll be out at work maybe in construction or maybe in the hospital or as a police officer. And there will be an opportunity perhaps to hear something that's wrong or say something that's wicked. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what the Sunday school teacher taught last week from the Bible. And suddenly you remember a verse that you learned as a teenager at camp. And suddenly things come to your mind. Why? Because the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, He lives in you. And if you're a real Christian, He's going to remind you of some things that you would have forgotten without Him. He's going to lead you to live your life according to the Word of God. Romans 8:14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thank God that you as a Christian today have one living within you. He is the proof of your sonship. He reminds you that there is a God in heaven and there is a Word that has been revealed, and He wants you to live your life according to that Word. Listen, my friend, the Bible is like a roadmap, and the Holy Spirit is like a guide, and He wants to guide you to truthful living. He wants to guide you into integrity and into honoring the Lord in all that you do. This past week, as we were out in Colorado visiting our family, we took one day, and a few miles from the family farm, there's a town called Durango, Colorado. We went up into the area above Durango, and we got into a raft there to go down the Animas River. And as we got into the raft with our family, just before we got into the raft, the guide had to have a little talk with us. Actually, before that, I had to sign my life away on legal documentation. People have been killed doing this. People have been maimed doing this. We want to be indemnified from any legal recourse. I told the lady, I said, man, you guys have good lawyers here. And then, of course, I signed it and gave it to him. Got in that raft. He said, now, before we start down the river, he said, let's get some things straight. He said, I'm the guide. He said, I've been down this river thousands of times. He said, I know when to turn the raft so that we don't hit the trees that are in the middle of the river or the rocks that are in the middle of the river. And he said, let's practice. And he said, when I say three backwards, you give me three backwards. When I say three forward, you give me three forward. He went through it all. And he said, if you will do what I tell you to do, we'll reach our desired haven safely. We'll not tip over. We'll have a great time. He said, if you don't listen to me, I cannot guarantee that. I'm telling you what, we listened to what he said. We followed his instructions. You'll see on this next slide, there were a few times I thought it was all over, but the shouting, brother. But sure enough, he brought us right through. He brought us to our desired haven, and we got out safely, and no one was hurt. But I had to make a decision. So did our family. And the decision was simple. Are we going to listen to the guide and let the guide be the guide? Or are we going to do what we want to do? And that's your decision tomorrow morning. Are you going to get up and say, good morning, Lord? Lord, I want you to lead me today. Spirit of God, I want you to guide me into the truth today. I want to be a Christian man at work today. I want to be honest in my dealings today. I want to be a single adult today. Are you going to let him guide? And when God says three back, are you going to go three back? And when God says three forward, are you going to go three forward? You see, God wants to lead you in accordance to the scriptures and into the truth and away from the error. Notice secondly, he's going to lead you with compliance to the Savior. If you follow the Holy Spirit, your life will become more like Jesus. You will comply with Jesus. Look at verse 13 once again. It says, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. We get a little glimpse in this portion of Scripture into the interrelatedness of the Godhead. We begin to sense that the Lord communicates with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Lord Jesus, and God the Father shares with the Son, and the Son with the Father, and all persons of the Godhead working for our salvation and working for the leadership that we need in our life. And we see here that Jesus Christ will be sharing with the Holy Spirit, who will give us the Word and the mind of Jesus Christ. And we are commanded to live with the mind of Christ. But we cannot do that without the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. What I'm saying to you this morning, if you want the guidance of the Spirit, you must know it will always be according to the Word of God. It will always be in compliance to the will of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, it will be to actions of obedience. The guided Christian is going to be reminded and guided toward obedience, not disobedience. The Holy Spirit will always lead you and me to be an obedient Christian. Now, I heard about a teacher that was grading a little boy's paper, and boy, she looked at this work, and she was frankly appalled with the results. I mean, she could not believe how terrible it was. She called the little fellow into class the next day. She said, I failed to see how one person could make so many mistakes. The little boy said, but teacher, it wasn't just one person. My dad helped. How many of you dads are like me? If you don't help with math homework, they're going to get a better grade, right? And so forth. But the fact of the matter is, we don't want our help to be detrimental. We want our help for our children to be a good thing. And God says, I want to help you if you'll let me. I want to guide you to some actions that will help you be a better man. Notice some of those actions we see in the Scripture. God says, I want you to study my word. I want you to be a person, 2 Timothy 2:15, that studies to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Boy, I know some people this morning that study basketball. They know how many points Kobe had in his series when they beat the Celtics this past week. They know how many points Ron Artest had. They might even know the name of Ron Artest's psychiatrist. I do not know. I know some people that study golf. They study Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, and they can tell you when they won and when they almost won. There are people that study a lot of things. But the spiritual man has this inner prompting to study this book. To study the Word of God. And like a wise mechanic who knows which tool to pull out for a particular need, the wise man knows which truth to pull out at a particular time. To help his child, to help his Sunday school class, to help his co-worker whose marriage is having difficulty. He knows when to pull it out. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as that same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. In other words, the Holy Spirit gives an anointing of understanding. Theologically, we refer to it as illumination.
The Bible is given to us through the process of inspiration. That is, the Holy Spirit breathing His words and these apostles and prophets writing them down. But then we must have the illumination or the anointing of the Spirit to understand the Word of God. Yes, God will use preaching and God will use commentaries and God will give us helps, but He has given primarily His Holy Spirit to be our teacher and to help us understand. And the Holy Spirit is going to prompt us to the Word of God. Have you ever wondered what would happen in America if we would treat our Bibles like we treat our cell phones? We don't dare leave the house without our cell phone. We make sure it's charged and ready to go. What would happen if everybody carried their Bible in their pocket or their purse? What would happen in America if we flipped through it several times a day? What would happen in America if we would go home to get our Bible because we forgot our Bible? What would happen if we received messages from the text? What would happen if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to our kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in the case of an emergency? What would happen to your life if you referred to the Bible as often as you refer to your cell phone? The Holy Spirit will prompt you this way. He will prompt you to the Word. He will prompt you to prayer. He wants you to pray and seek His face and acknowledge Him. The Bible says in Jude in verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." God says, I want you to pray. I want you to pray in my spirit. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. How does the Holy Spirit guide us? He guides us in accordance to the Scriptures. He guides us into the will of Christ. He guides us to be actively obedient. And fourthly, He guides us by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You see, all of us need to be convicted. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how old or young you are, all of us need the convicting of the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes you might walk out of here, you might go, man, it felt like the pastor was preaching just to me today. Good. Someone said to me once, man, you were stepping all over my toes today. I said, I'm sorry, I was trying for your heart. See, all of us need to feel. Look, you don't need to find a church where you feel so comfortable. You need to be somewhere where every once in a while there's a discomfort wrought by the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, and you recognize something in your life is not right and it needs to be made right, and God's Holy Spirit is pointing it out, and you realize perhaps you're not saved, perhaps you need to get right with your spouse, perhaps you need to confess sin. The Spirit of God will convict us, John 16:8, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. One little boy was asked, what is conviction? And he thought about that for a minute. He was only 6 years old. He said, well, I reckon conviction is, it's that something that makes you feel bad when you kick girls. Now, some of you have never felt conviction about that. You just were enjoying it too much when you were a kid in school. But God's Holy Spirit brings conviction. When we're doing something we ought not to do, when we're saying something we ought not to say, when we're living a way we ought not to live, when we're bitter, God says forgive. When we are involved in some form of malice or hatred or envy, God says let it go. The Holy Spirit has power to do that. How many of you have figured out Pastor Chapel can't go to work with you every day? If you want me to, just tell me at the door. I'll try to show up tomorrow. But how many figured out your Sunday school teacher can't go to work with you every day? Your spouse, your wife who's maybe a good Christian, or your husband who's maybe a good Christian, cannot be with you every day, but there is one who will guide you every day, and He is the Holy Spirit of God. The gift of God at salvation, besides forgiveness, besides heaven, is the Holy Spirit of God. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is something we sense through the Scriptures and we sense through His conviction, and it is real to the Christian who wants it. And then finally this morning, notice the glorification of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, through us, will always seek to glorify Jesus Christ. This is where the modern day charismatic Pentecostal movement at times has slipped far away from the truth. in overemphasizing the Holy Spirit when the ministry of the Holy Spirit is primarily to exalt Jesus Christ. You want to know a Spirit-filled Christian or a Spirit-filled church? Are people coming to Jesus and being saved? Is Jesus being lifted high? Is Jesus being exalted? Oh, we must lift up, and I've endeavored through these months to share with you the importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but now let me share specifically. The Holy Spirit's desire is to exalt Jesus, my friend. Notice, if you would, the Bible says in verse number 14, He, the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, Jesus Christ, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now here we see the word show. It means to make known. It means to announce. The Holy Spirit wants to make known the ministry and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, notice, He shall testify of me. The mark characteristic of a Christian that is filled with the Spirit is that they make much of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't with my grandmother 5 minutes this past week until she shared with me how that at age 94 she had led her neighbor to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a Spirit-filled woman. She didn't tell me of some experience or some campaign or some televangelist or some other thing going on, but she told me about who she had recently told about Jesus Christ. And you see, the Spirit-filled Christian talks about Him, lives for Him, glorifies Him. It's all about Jesus. And I want to say, first of all, as a Christian guided by the Spirit, our desire should be to glorify the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Wherefore I give you unto understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. My friend, when you exalt Jesus, it's the Spirit causing you to exalt Jesus. When you sit down at work with a friend, and you sense this desire to tell them about Jesus, you say, I'm not a great soul winner. Listen, have you been saved? Tell someone else how you got saved. And you have this desire to tell someone about Jesus. Let me tell you something. The devil's not trying to get you to tell somebody about Jesus. That desire, my friend, is coming from the Holy Spirit, who will glorify the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, there's not a reason for living in this world save to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He's left me on this planet. He's left me on this planet. He's giving me breath to breathe this morning that I might tell someone else about Jesus. That's what it's all about, my friend. Exalting and glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to exalt Jesus in His person and in His place of deity. Notice in verse 15, the Bible says, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus is claiming here a compatibility with the Father. He is claiming here equality with the Father. John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Colossians 2 and verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Do you understand the eternality of Jesus Christ? That He is equal with the Father. Oh, I understand this morning the Jehovah Witness come by and they peddle their literature and they say that Jesus began in Bethlehem's manger. Oh no, my friend, Jesus said, before Abraham I was. Oh, do you understand Jesus is eternal God? I understand the cults such as Iglesia de Cristo. I understand the Mormons and others to say that Jesus Christ was a man who became God. But my friend, Jesus has always been God. God and equal with God the Father, and we're here to proclaim the wonderful glorification and deity of Jesus Christ. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You want your life to be a Spirit-filled life? Talk of Jesus. Live for Jesus. Let others know of the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of Him. We must glorify the person of Jesus. Secondly, we must glorify the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it. Jesus said, He shall glorify me because God is perfect, because His Son is perfect. Then when He died on the cross, listen, He wasn't just another criminal on a cross. He was the perfect Son of God on that cross. And He died on the cross for a specific reason. That reason is that you and I in our sin do not deserve heaven. We fall short. Every father here today, though I applaud your effort to raise your family for God, I must remind you of the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, to forgive us of our sin. Romans 10 and verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering, offering, and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. My friend, it doesn't matter if it was the priest in the temple in the Old Testament or the so-called Roman Catholic priest of the modern day. There is not a sacrament, there is not any act of a priest or a pastor that can take away sin. They can never take away sin. But this man, Jesus, when he died on the old rugged cross and when he shed his blood and that blood came flowing down, that blood was efficacious. That blood was what would cause the covering of sin for all of mankind. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And I say to you this morning that without the shedding of the blood, we're without hope. Without the shedding of the blood, we have no home in heaven. And it's because Jesus shed his blood that you and I can be forgiven today. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, the perfectly sinless blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed for your sin and for mine. Dr. R.G. Lee, the great pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church for many decades in Nashville, Tennessee, visited with a group from his church the Holy Land, and they came to that place called the Hill of the Skull, the place where Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for our sin. And Mr. Lee said to his guide, an Arab man who was showing them around, "Sir, I've been to the bottom, but I'd like to go to the top of this hill. I'd like to see all of it. I'd like to understand more of the place where my Savior died." The man said, "I don't think we should go up there." He urged, and after a while they went to the top. Pastor Lee stood there with tears flowing down his face. The guide said, "Sir, have you ever been here before?" Pastor R.G. Lee said, "Yes. 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, my sin was on the Lord Jesus as he shed his blood for me. 2,000 years ago, I was here given victory by the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, the price was paid for my sin. And my friend, when Jesus Christ died on the old rugged cross, he had you on his mind. And the Bible says, 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life.'" Jesus died to save us. Not only that, Jesus lives to provide for us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." May I say to you that are born again Christians this morning, there's a wonderful place being prepared for you by Jesus. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus not only died to save us, but he lives to provide a place called heaven for us. What a wonderful truth. And if you're not sure that heaven is your home, even today, you can trust Christ and be saved.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.